which we're picking up on the bottom of page 178, 178 in the second volume. And I guess we'll start out just reading the first paragraph here. Oh, how about, oh, Sister Nimi, are you just listening or are you able to read for us?
I can read, Brother Bharat.
Okay, could you read that paragraph on the bottom of 178?
The teaching is the one, right?
Yes.
The teaching of this type is in perfect accord with what we have learned in our examination of the divine plan of the ages. It points unmistakably to the times of restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Moses was one of the prophets, and here particularly he speaks to us of the coming restitution of man's first estate and liberty, long lost, sold under sin. By the failure of our first parents, all was lost. All rights were forfeited, and all became slaves to the tyrant sin and were unable to free themselves. The family circle has been sadly broken by the bondage of corruption, death. Thank God for the promised time of release. The Jubilee is at hand, and soon the captives of death and slaves of sin shall have back their first estate, perfect manhood, and their first inheritance, the earth, the gift of God through Jesus Christ, the mediator and ratifier of the new covenant. Oh.
Thank you, Sister Nimi. We'd like to look up a couple scriptures. It talks about the times of restitution, and why don't we take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I'd like to ask for verse 15 through 19. And Sister Sharon Leslie, could you read those for us? Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15 through 19.
Yes, Brother Brad, I had that opened as well. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 20.
If you like.
Oh, no. What did you say, please?
I said 19.
Oh, 19. Okay. So we're on Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see the great fire any more, that I die not. And 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So I think that we're seeing here the observation or the telling of us that there will be a special prophet. Even though Moses represented Jesus, there was a special prophet that was going to come from the midst of thee. I hope I'm okay with that thought. Over.
Yes, very good. Very helpful. Thank you, Sister Sharon. And I thought maybe we'd turn over and just read one other text. Is this a companion text to it? Maybe in Acts 3 and verse 20 through 23. And Sharon Fifield, can we ask you for those verses, Acts 3, 20 through 23? Actually, Let me ask you for starting in 19. 19 through 23, can you read that for us? And I don't know if you're at your computer, but you're muted. If you are, you're muted. Well, let's ask for someone else. How about brother?
I'm all right. I was having trouble turning my speaker on. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Hey,
okay. Now then, that was Acts. Hold on a second. I got to pull it up again. There. Acts 19, did you say?
Acts 3.
Okay.
Got 19 it. Through 23.
Okay, 19 through 23. All right. Repent, ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me, to him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. How far?
One more.
And it shall be that every soul which shall not hearken to the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Both Sharons. We had both Sharons reading for us. So this, you know, I always find Acts 3, 19 through 23. I have never checked this if it's factual, but I think these are probably the most quoted verses in Scripture from Brother Russell. He's always referring back to these because they give you such a key, such an answer that the method and that it was prophesied. It was spoken by all the holy prophets. The discussion about restitution and that there would be a means to be restored. So who would like to offer a comment on how this ties into our, you know, so closely ties into our consideration of Jubilees? Particularly verse 21 and 22. Sister Margaret, please.
Well, in the year of Jubilee, I realize we'll get it into it more, but there was a returning of everything to the original owners, property, and just it covered a lot of animals, so many things that had been taken over by someone else for various reasons, if the person themselves couldn't take care of it and they maybe became slaves. But so the Jubilee concept is to return during that year is to, the Jubilee year is to return everything to their original owner. And so, mankind will then get the opportunity to have the earth that was really prepared for them, it was to be for them and to eventually live in perfection. So, mankind will, the fulfillment then will be in the, messianic kingdom of returning everything to mankind. Sorry, I'm not wording too well, but that's the concept. The Jubilee is a wonderful concept of, helping mankind to, receive back what they or receive what they should have had in the first place. Thank you.
Yeah, a beautiful concept. I love the concept of the restitution of Jubilee, of returning everything to its original owner. you know, we live in a world where, I don't know the data, but right now we hear about three individuals in this country having as much wealth as the lowest 50% of the population. There's around 350 million people in this country. So you're talking about what, 175 million people on one hand have the same amount of wealth as three people on the other hand. And that's just how out of whack things get. But to me, that's just something that comes to mind when I think about, you know, everything going back. And Sister Margaret brought out to us, you know, the larger concept of restoring from what was lost with sin and all the things that lead to the grave and that being all brought back. Sister Sharon, let's go over to your mic.
Brother Brad, I was looking in that top or the part of the last of the paragraph on part of 179, where it talks about the Jubilee is at hand and soon the captives of death and slaves of sin. And I was looking at, from a previous study, the scripture Luke chapter 4, verse 18, to see if this will fit that particular sentence in and to go along with Sister Margaret's thought on the Jubilee, of course. This is Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. So to me, that goes along with our Acts text. Over.
Yeah, beautiful scripture, and I think this is Jesus reading in Nazareth when he was at the synagogue, and they called him to read, and they didn't appreciate what he was saying here. It didn't get a very good reaction, but he was telling them the truth, and then we won't deviate into it, but interesting, you know, comparing the New Testament and Luke with Isaiah 61, first few verses, kind of a nice little read there. Sister Robin, over to you.
The sentence I think that Sister Sharon was referring to, I really like, because it shows where the redemption has to come from. And it's by the failure of our first parents, all was lost. And so when you the Jubilee is so beautiful. So what is going to be restored? You have to go all the way back. And that scripture we all know, as in Adam, all die. So even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Over.
Yeah. And you know, I think we all think about that. I think a lot, just the understanding. You know, I watched, I was telling Sister Marilyn, I watched a little YouTube video, it was about 18 minutes long, on the Council of Nicaea. And we all know what happened at the Council of Nicaea. That was when Constantine, basically a pagan emperor of Rome, pretty horrible person, I think, if you look at his life. And he sat and made the decision, presided over the council with all these bishops. They say 318 bishops, but what did they come up with? They came up with chaos thought, chaos. They went from a simple, basic concept of a man for a man, a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That concept of Jesus for Adam. And they threw it into the bin of confusion and Babylon. That's when Babylon really got its start. So, well, I really appreciate you just, you know, bringing that up, Sister Robin. It just takes us back to the Lord's arrangement, and so few see it. And you know what's really strange is in the last talk on the brother, oh, it wasn't the last one. I think Brother David Stein mentioned something about a cognitive dissonance. You can't explain this to somebody and have them accept it and understand it, even though it's so simple and it explains so much. They'd rather stay with that idea of the Trinity, which they end up saying, well, it's a mystery. and nobody can explain it. So, well, we're sure thankful that we have the simple explanation. You know, there was another scripture, and this was brought up at the convention. I think Brother David Stein brought this one up, too. I'm just going to connect it because I hadn't had a note on it. But with the connection with the Acts 3:22, he brought up Acts 7:37. And Brother Bill Facker, would you read that for us, Acts 7:37?
Okay, I'll read it from the New American Standard. Okay.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. Just have to get the pages turned. Acts 7:37?
Yes.
Right? These pages don't want to separate. Okay. But there is no 37. Is it 27? No.
Acts 7:37.
My Bible only goes until. Wait a minute.
Maybe King James has it.
Oh, okay. The pages stuck together. Okay, sorry. Anyway, this is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brother. And that's the quote from Deuteronomy 18:15.
Yeah, so this is just another validation, another text to help us to, I think this is Stephen giving his sermon and doing his teaching, and he's connecting Moses as that prophet, as the one that Jesus was the antitype of. So Jesus was the greater than Moses that was spoken of in the other text. So just it's another nice confirming text that we have. Brother Tim Suchocki.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I want to read from Micah 5:2. And it says, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clan of Judah, for you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child, and then reminder of his brethren will return to the son of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the mysteries of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth, and his one will be our peace. So this is another scripture that we have that he's a ruler.
Right. Depicting, telling us where he would be from, as you read. And then the first verse, it tells us, but they'll smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. So there's some interesting prophetic insights with that. Thank you, Brother Tim. Micah 5, maybe 1 through 5 or 1 through 5, I think. I have a question on one of the phrases here, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. It's a third line from the top on page 179. And it says, the family circle has been sadly broken by the bondage of corruption, death. The family circle has been sadly broken by the bondage of corruption, death. And, of course, you know, we're talking about with reference to losses that would be restored when the Jubilee is fully in place. Anybody have a thought on what's the point that sentence is bringing up about the family circle? What do you think? Okay, Brother Jim has a thought for us. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Is that Jim Tower or me?
Brother Jim Shooker.
Oh, okay. I think the idea there is the family circle is the whole family arrangement. It had no sin taken place, the whole family of earth would have stayed together and been worked in harmony with each other. But the family circle is broken, and everybody's fighting each other. It's no law, and it's such corruption, such that nobody even knows what's right or wrong anymore. Over.
So, Brother Jim, would it be? Am I getting your thought to say that you're thinking it's the family circle of humanity, like the big circle?
Yes. Yes.
Not individual families.
No, it's a whole family circle. The whole human family circle.
Love is the fulfilling of the law. Right. Brother Walt, over to you, please.
On a slightly different wavelength, I was thinking of when mankind did try to get together and be a big family, they did it in a very improper way, and they tried to build a tower and build themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak. And the Heavenly Father had to break that up because they were using this human connection in a very improper way. Over.
Okay. And maybe with that in mind, kind of working in conflict with the idea of that you have underlying ideas in the Jubilee system. Maybe attaching that thought. Thank you, Brother Walt. Brother Rick Hoy.
Yeah, good morning, brethren. It was an early morning today at 6:30, the assembly and convention, and now it's nice to be able to connect with you. Here's the thought recorded by the pastor that Adam and Eve were the family. They were the beginning. And then they had children. And their children should have had children and on, and death should never have entered into the picture. But because it did, it disrupted the family unit. And the earth itself was lost by them too, the paradise. So is the thought that with the restitution process starting, the family of man will have continuity. It will come back to one complete family, and the earth will be theirs in a paradise condition at the end of the 1,000-year restitution period. Over.
Good thought. You bring up the earliest, with Adam and Eve as the first family, and it makes me think of Cain and Abel. It got off on such a bad foot right away. And you really, you think of the love as the fulfilling of the law, and it's doing good unto others as you would have them do unto you. So it's kind of that equanimity that would be desired for everybody to have, this kind of support, common support, and care for each other. Like, not what can I get from you and how can I not give it back to you if it's actually yours, but rather the idea of just, trying to make, bring everybody into a place of security and happiness. Brother Jim, back to you.
Yeah, in the situation with the Tower of Babel, they were trying to force themselves to stay together. But because of the corruption, the Lord could see that that was not a good thing. And in that particular situation, they were all, they, you know, you had the bad people on top, ruling the, you know, the, what do you call it? Shall we say lambs underneath them? And, the wolves were in charge of the whole thing. That was a bad situation. And so the Lord, broke that up. It, that was not a good family circle being made there. It was an attempt, I suppose, of a having a family circle, but the corruption was such that the Lord saw it as a bad thing. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jim. You know, when you were saying that, it just popped into my head about the judges and the kings. They were better off with judges because that kept Jehovah as the head, yeah, as the king, but they wanted to be like the other nations. So that, yeah, turned out to be not such a good idea. Brother Bill Ostrander, please.
Yes, Brother Brad. Just to make a note, Sister Margaret put on Romans 8, 21 and 22 that speaks of the whole creation. And the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. I like what Brother Jim Shucker said about the human family. The entire human family is one family, even though they're subdivided into individual families, but and they have that common bond of humanity, and now humanity cannot get along with themselves at hardly any level. But I think there's been another break here, that and that's between the Creator and the human family. And we speak of Him as our Heavenly Father. And that connection, has been broken because of sin, but will be made whole again. And I just love Revelations, 21 along this line. I'll just read the third verse, Revelations 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall dwell with them and be their God. And that relationship connection will be restored. Back to you.
Yeah, excellent thought, Brother Bill, and beautiful scripture, making that reconnecting. Boy, the world has been such a mess for ever since Eden. You know, think about it. From Abel, Cain and Abel, and we still go on, and all the wars and all the killing and destruction. It's just, it's in need of restitution back to what it was originally intended. In desperate need. Brother Rick, please.
Yeah, in discussing the Jubilee periods with Sister Allie over the years, she, as many others, are firm that the Jubilees are vital, absolutely have to be considered and taken into, to you know, it's a prime doctrinal teaching of the Bible through the pyramid, through the teachings of the pastor. But the point I'm getting at is, Brother Brad said, how do we feel about that statement in the paragraph? And it says, by the failure of our first parents, which is Adam and Eve, all rights were forfeited, and all became slaves to the tyrant sin and were unable to free themselves. So until that Jubilee period is finished, the 50 cycles, mankind is in slavery. It can't have all these rights back until that Jubilee, the millennial age, comes into play. And restitution will be a continuity of the family. They'll all be resurrected, all have opportunity to retain
or get these rights again that were forfeited. Because when you're dead, you have to come back from the dead in order to enter that period of the millennium. So the family circle had been sadly broken by a bondage of corruption and death. And that's the Jubilee counting, why it's so vital. And year after year, I get more and more, it's embedded in my mind and my heart, how these Jubilee cycles are vital, need to be studied, and need to be understood. Over.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Rick. I'm going to add on another scripture, kind of carrying on with your thought, you know, the restoring of Adam and Eve as the first parents. And Brother Bill, he pointed us to the Revelation, making that vertical reconnection to the Heavenly Father. And how is it accomplished then? And then you have in that text that we all know so well, Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And so that reconnection with that next set of parents, that, you know, second Adam and second Eve, bringing back that family and then becoming the parents of that family after the, as he said, as you quoted, the failure of our first parents. So you have the second set of parents, kind of a beautiful picture in helping that we have a role, our role of being that the bride, to be able to help restore first parents, and then everything that, all the children that came through the first set of parents. Thank you, Brother Rick. And Brother Walt, over to you.
I was just thinking a very pictorial way to put this future oneness of family, that Isaiah 27:6 of Isaiah, he shall come, cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. So this family arrangement will indeed, under the Jubilee restitution circumstances, indeed come to fill the whole world and be one big happy family. Over.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Brother Walt. Appreciate that added text. So let's go ahead and pick up the next paragraph. And this is top of page 179. And maybe we can, let's see. Sister Ellie, would you be able to read that paragraph for us? And make a comment after your reading, please.
Okay. Yes. Starting with Wile.
Wile, yes.
While in the typical Jubilee year, many restored liberties and blessings were at once entered upon, yet probably most of the year was required to straighten out affairs and get each one fully installed again in all his former liberties, rights, and possessions. So too with the antitype. The millennial age of restitution, it will open with sweeping reforms, with the recognition of rights, liberties, and possessions long lost sight of, but the work of complete restoring to the obedient all that was originally lost will require all of that age of restitution, 1,000 years. Well, we know that the Jubilee, the Grand Jubilee, started to count 1,000 years, and even before we have anyone resurrected, we can see that people are clamoring for their rights, and imperfectly so, but that's a big issue on the minds of everyone. And at the end of 1,000 years, this is the times of restitution, and restitution is at the end of the age when everything is restored. You can see the beginnings of it now. And, of course, as time goes on and the mediatorial phase of it starts, it'll be sorted out in a better way. But it doesn't happen in one day, because it took the whole year that time.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Ellie. Yeah, it starts out pretty rough. A lot of bumps in that road. And Yeah, I was going to ask just with respect to Israel, natural Israel, and the carrying out of observing the Jubilees from the first coming into the land and starting, what was it, 1575? Is that the right year, B.C.? And if you come forward, so 50 years after they're going to be celebrating their first Jubilee, and how did Israel do with that? Did Israel celebrate? Did they observe? Did they follow the rules of the Jubilee in their history leading up to Babylonian captivity? Sister Arlene?
Well, they followed at some extent, but certainly not perfectly. You know, it was hard for people to give up land that they had bought 50 years ago, and they didn't want to give it up. So, and they didn't want to not plant on the 49th year and not plant on the 50th year. So they did it to some extent, but certainly not perfectly.
Okay, it was a rough thing for them to observe. You can imagine why. You know, and actually, technically, if you think about what happens over the course of 50 years, for them, that was like a lifetime. Probably longer than many lifetimes, but, you know, just even sorting it out technically would be pretty difficult. And then people wouldn't probably want to give things back, and then there would be debates, and this is mine and that's yours. And so Sister Arlene Sister Ellie was, you know, kind of pointing us that in the direction that there would have been, like we see now in the early stages of Jubilee. Now there's a lot of conflict that erupts, and now, you know, Brother Russell looking at it and saying, well, it's kind of it's not about your plot of land. It's bigger than that. Now it's kind of like, well, am I being treated fairly? And I have rights, and I want to demand my rights be satisfied and so forth. So it gets started pretty rough. Sister Nimi, please.
I was just going through the Pastor Russell's Overland Monthly, page 85, about the Jubilee of Restoration. On page 85, second paragraph, is very clearly mentions here, but Israel, I'm just going to read a few lines, but Israel did not particularly care for this arrangement, and it gradually fell into disuse. The Almighty did not insist on its continuance. Its chief value was that of the type, pointing forward to a greater time of restitution, when Adam and all his children would be permitted to come back from the land of the enemy, from the power of the grave, and from under the dominion of sin and death, back to harmony with God, to perfection of human nature, to inheritance of the land and all the blessings and the rights and the privileges which originally belonged to Father Adam. The human family is to come into all these rights and privileges lost in Eden and redeemed at Calvary, when the Messiah shall come in power and great glory to establish in the earth his millennium kingdom. The first to be blessed under the kingdom arrangement would be God's chosen people, and subsequently all nations will receive a similar share by coming under the same condition and participating in Israel's new law covenant. So that was very clearly mentioned right here that they didn't appreciate the Jubilee and God really didn't. It was a tired pointing forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good quote. Thank you, Sister Nimi. It gradually fell into disuse, is what he said. And its chief value, just reiterating a couple phrases that you read, its chief value was that of a type, pointing forward to a greater time of restitution. So that's the article that Sister Margaret pointed us to, Overland Monthly, page 84. Very nice article on the subject. Brother Jim.
Yeah, I would say it fell into disuse for some of them, but there were those who tried to keep it to a certain extent. And I think the whole idea, of course, is getting, you know, further on down through the volume and stuff. It's interesting the fact that basically they tried, to a certain extent, tried to keep it for about 19 cycles, okay? And then because they kept it so poorly, the Lord then took them out of the land, and he kept the remaining 51 cycles for them, making a total of 70 cycles. The 70 times 50 is the 3,500, which brings you to the time, basically, of the Lord's return. That being a very short synopsis of it. Over.
Okay. A little forecast or foretaste of a couple more pages ahead.
Yeah.
So I looked up, just, I don't know if others have more information. I went on and asked online about, you know, how did the how well did the Jews did Israel keep Leviticus 25, the Jubilees, up until the period of the Babylonian captivity. And it was kind of interesting. It basically goes through and said that there's no records, historical records. There's no tablets of records that, you know, would be indications that they were actually keeping it. There was a couple things that came from Josephus and a person named Diodorus Siculus. A Greek historian noted that the Jews did not permanently alienate their landed inheritance, an observation interpreted by later writers as consistent with Jubilee practices. So there are some, I guess, if you look at maybe there's no archaeological or documentary evidence, but maybe there are some thoughts from some of the much later recorders of history, though. They're not contemporary. That's the problem. They come back and look at it from far down the line in history and say, well, they might have tried to keep it here and there. But I think that kind of takes us back to that Overland Monthly comment where it fell into disuse and it was chiefly as a type. They may have, but their keeping it perfectly was never probably expected when the Lord set it up and did start the counting entering the land. Brother Rick, please.
So as mankind is brought back in a resurrection, what do you think their perceived rights, privileges, and possessions will be in their mind? They're going to be thinking about, just before they died, I was Chinese, I was French, I was Canadian, I was American, I was, you know, their home, their possessions they had before they died. But the Jubilee picture that our father introduced to the nation of Israel was to help raise their thinking to appreciate that all these perceived things, that their rights aren't what is going to be at the end of the 1,000 years. By the time they're all brought, readjusted, taught, they will be back to what were the original rights of Adam and Eve, was to be caretakers of the earth, to have children, expand their family and fill the whole earth. So there is no real right, and your right to have Canada, to have China, to have Russia. Those are all things that have developed from corruption and pride and greed. It all has to come back by the end of the 1,000 years, the millennium, the Jubilee, the Grand Jubilee. All mankind will be back in one family. And they will be in harmony, and they'll have their own home, their own vineyard, their own fig tree to sit under, but they're not going to be greedy. And, you know, like what's going to happen when they're first resurrected, it's going to be a lot of teaching and instruction that's going to have to help them come back to the proper view of things. Over.
Yeah, good points, Brother Rick. Getting that education and getting it laid out according to the Heavenly Father's wisdom will be a big task. And we don't really know how that's going to work out in practical terms right now, but we'll be informed so that we can assist. Brother Jim.
Yeah, in Jeremiah 34, starting verse 8, really kind of through the verse 11, it gives an instance in which the people were trying to at least do something about keeping the Jubilee. If I might read that.
Yeah, please.
It says, Jeremiah 34, starting verse 8. After King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to proclaim liberty, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord that each man should free his Hebrew slaves, both male and female, and no one should hold his fellow Jew in bondage. So all the officials and all the people who entered into this covenant agreed that they would free their men servants and maid servants and no longer hold them in bondage. They obeyed and released them. But later they changed their minds and took back the men servants and maid servants that they had freed, and they forced them to become slaves again. And then, of course, that was really obnoxious to the Lord, and as a result, he destroyed them. Over.
Yeah, worked for about a minute. Would you hurry, please?
Oh, sorry, did I miss? Were you asking for me?
Yes, yes, please.
Oh, sorry. My thought was very similar to Brother Jim Shucker. Even though kept imperfectly, there's another reference in Ezekiel 46, verse 17. Both Jeremiah and Ezekiel lived right up until the captivity to Babylon, which ended any opportunity to keep it. But so Jim gave Jeremiah a reference that was speaking about this. In Ezekiel 46:17, but if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty. That's the reference to Jubilee. After it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. So it wasn't entirely forgotten, but likely kept very inadequately, imperfectly. But the Jews had this in mind and were reminded by both Jeremiah and Ezekiel of the ordinance. Over.
Yeah, very good references to have in mind. There are a couple scant references to it. Don't tell us a lot. But it does seem like there were, you know, some references back to it. So thank you both for those references. And Brother Walt, over to you.
Just a text to go along with the many good comments. Leviticus 26:35 of Leviticus. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, speaking of the land, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. So it kind of very plainly states their track record for keeping the Sabbath system, which the Jubilees were a great part of that. Over.
Right. Okay. And Brother Jim was alluding to that partial keeping of 19 cycles. And then, but the Lord kept Sabbath for the land ultimately for 70 years in the captivity of Babylon, and he forced that keeping of the Sabbath of the Jubilee years in when they were in captivity. Well, I think we're just about at the end of our hour for the meeting, and I think we'll just rest the meeting there and mark down our books to begin again on second paragraph, it is certain that no antitype of the Jubilee. So that's what we'll mark down.